Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus prays, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in you through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Good and gracious friends, it is an honor to be with you this morning and to preach like this, but it is a humbling sort of honor. The lessons that we use this morning are common for services like this. They are frequently read at all sorts of ecumenical gatherings. And this means that all of you here present have likely heard them before. Worse for me, most of you have preached on them before. What you would think about these lessons might well be more profound and insightful than what I have thought, and I would be glad to hear what you have to say later on, because what I have to say is very basic indeed. First of all, I remind you that God the Father answers the prayers of Jesus with the stunning and unique exception of the prayer in the garden. The Father answers the prayers of the Son. The easiest place to see this, although not the only place, is also from St. John's Gospel in the story about the raising of Lazarus. Jesus is acting very publicly here, you remember at this point, just before his own death. And in the context of making this grand final sign, you remember Jesus says, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. And then he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, and up out of the tomb, Lazarus comes. This is just an explicit example of what is implicit everywhere in the New Testament. The Father answers the prayers of the Son. And I believe that this means that when, in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prays that those who follow him may be one, it is so. Of course, we know this. We know that we are one in Christ with each other, that we are all Christians together. But sometimes, friends, we work at this unity as if it were a project instead of a gift. We find ourselves struggling as if to make this unity. We say that what we're doing is making it real or living into it. But it feels to us sometimes, and it certainly looks to other people, as though we're trying to create something that isn't there. Especially with some of our other Christian brothers and sisters, we are far too surprised to discover that we have any part of the faith in common. And people like us are still being trained at great expense to distinguish their particular Christian community from others. And it can get worse. I recently found myself trying to explain to one of my neighbors the differences between the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the Lutheran Church in Missouri Synod. And as I finished, she said to me, but y'all are Christians, right? I had somehow neglected to mention this. Honestly, it seems to me sometimes that Lutherans and Episcopalians are like people in one of those awkward marriages. Spouses who are always still trying to figure each other out so they can finally agree on things and settle down. In fact, what we need to agree on is that we already belong to each other, that we're not the same and never will be, but that no matter what, we are in this together. And this will be more and more important as the world around us changes and as the whole Christian community begins to seem strange to many of our neighbors. And so, though, worship like this is the first sign of our unity, almost just as important is our ability to relax together and talk and enjoy being with each other. Anyway, no matter what, we're not making our unity. Jesus prayed for it and it came to be. We only want to bear witness to it. But foremost, brothers and sisters, we want to bear witness to Jesus. The point of our unity, after all, is that the world should know that the Father sent the Son to redeem it. I know that you know this too, but since I forget it myself so often, I am pretty sure you must forget it sometimes as well. We often act as though the point of our unity in the church is to make our church life more efficient, to make it possible for us to deploy personnel better. We're tempted to believe that our unity is intended to give us more clout in the public political sphere, more numbers, more money, apparently more votes, more influence if we stick together. I don't know about that. I do know that as Lutherans and Episcopalians, and in our worst moments, we act as though we are one with each other so that our respective denominations can prop each other up. We act as though our unity means that as we slide off together toward ecclesiastical oblivion, at least we'll have a few friends. This absolutely cannot be God's will for us. In the unity that is Christ's gift to us, we are accountable to God for making disciples. And this ought to mean that we are accountable to each other for the same thing. I long for us to be able to say to each other, how is it really going? I long for us to know each other so well and to love each other so deeply that we could say, that's a brilliant thing you're doing over there. Do it some more. Or could say, what are you, crazy? Cut that out. If we could be like this, and if we could have as our goal that through us more people should come to know Jesus Christ more deeply, then we would be the deepest kind of blessing for each other and for the world that Jesus is apparently determined to save partly through us. And Jesus must be determined. If Jesus were not relentlessly determined to save this world, even through people like us, then people like us, with our strange, perversely beloved histories, and our convoluted church lives, we would have been passed over and forgotten a long time ago. But Jesus wants to use us. And out of us, even with all our baggage, Jesus is making the great new thing come to be. In dying and rising, Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit so that we are never alone. In the unity of this Holy Spirit, we have a common gospel mission to pursue, which is, as the old prayer books used to say, both our duty and our delight. And praise God, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we also have Jesus, and we have each other too, for here and for now, and forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen.